greatest one.
He's the greatest one
that ever was heard. And he rolled back the water of the mighty Red Sea. And he said, I'm gonna lead you.
Oh, just one more time. Let's give him praise.
Oh, how great is our God, and how great is His word. And He's the greatest one.
Yes, You are, Lord. Hallelujah.
That ever was heard, and He brought back the water of the mighty Red Sea. Said, I'm gonna lead you. Put your trust in me.
Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise tonight. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Praise be to God. Give Him praise tonight. Hallelujah. You're worthy, Lord. You're worthy, Father. Praise His name. Praise His name.
Maybe seated for a minute. I'd like to just share a little bit from this weekend. So I'll do this as fast as I can. You know, as preachers are, we say 5 minutes. 5 minutes preacher time is, well, I don't know, 15 minimum, right? But I'm going to try to keep it as short as I can. Sunday afternoon, Ellie had been having pain, actually since Saturday night, really. She asked me when we were laying there in bed. She said, can you pray for me? You know, I'm having this pain. Yeah, and I prayed with her, and, you know, the pain didn't go away so much. It kind of just kept coming, and Sunday night she decided to go to the hospital. We went there to the hospital. They said that she possibly was having some contractions, and, you know, she's about 8 weeks early, and that's not what you want to happen that early. And we had to get, there's restrictions in the hospital. I had to take Dawson. I took Dawson, gave him off to mom and dad and all that, and then when I went back, they had hooked her up to, oh my goodness, I don't even know how many things. You got an IV over here, you got one over here, you got some heart thing, you got the pump, this, and something all over. And I'm just like, what in the world happened? What are you doing to my wife? You know, I just left 5 minutes ago. What happened? I'll say, the flesh wanted to say, get out of here. We're cutting these strings and we're going home. I was mad, all right? Nothing like watching her. Oh, mercy. But anyways, you know, and they're all running around, and they're all, you know, getting whatever, all hyped up and everything, and I'm just getting madder by the minute. Like, get this unbelief out of this room. I can't take this. Because that's all hospital is half the time, a bunch of fear and unbelief. That's why they don't get well. They don't use the right source. Faith gets people well, not unbelief. Amen. Amen. So we're sitting there, and finally they're doing this and that, taking blood for this and testing this, and I'm like, get out of here. I got a test to take care of this. Okay, not to sympathize with, to take care of this. Finally, they got out of there, and I went up to Ellie, and, you know, like I said, there's all these things around her. There's all these machines and all this stuff, and I said, Ellie, look, I said, I'd pray for you, but we already prayed yesterday. I said, God is faithful. He already heard us. I didn't have to go try to twist his arm, all right? He already hears his children. And I said, you see all this, Ellie? I said, these are lying vanities. We're not going to listen to any of this stuff. Amen. All right? And all kinds of stories, of course, come from the message. You know, the man that said, you know, the little nurse there said, that machine, you know, it's never gone that low and come back up. He says, honey, we ain't looking at that machine. We're looking at God's word. Amen. And I thought the same thing that, look, and she'll testify this too. I said, Ellie, you need to tell your body what it's going to do. Amen. We got the power to do that. I said, you tell that body you're not having contractions. You're not having this baby yet. It ain't time. You tell the body to submit to that.
Amen.
So you take that faith, and it's always a little seed most times.
Amen.
Oh, there's a contraction coming. Hey, what are we looking at? We ain't looking at that. That ain't what the promise of God said. Amen. We're going to bring this body under subjection. Amen. Well, I guess the Fines Hospital can't handle 32-week-old babies, so they decided to take her to Toledo. We get there at Toledo, and this was Sunday night now, and you know, the whole trip there, you know, you got that whole hour drive going, what'd I do wrong? You know, Lord, you know, did I mess up the dedication service? Did I said something different? You know how those things come. But there was just a faith that came in my room and said, no, it's just a trial. You know, just be patient and the Lord will bring it through. And he gave me a lot of peace about that on the way there. I started rebuking the devil. Said, "You're gonna leave, buddy. You know, you don't got no part here with me." And we got there, Toledo, and I don't even know. They, of course, those doctors were just laughing. Like, they did what? They gave her how many shots? They got what hooked up to her, and they took all that stuff off. I think they left an IV on there. So I was grateful the atmosphere was changing. All right, and I believe that was God answering our prayers. And sure enough, that night, I don't even know, Ella, do you remember? It wasn't that long after there, the contraction stopped. And, you know, I was sitting there looking at that machine, and I was like, that's a flat line. I don't know a whole lot about this machine, but if it's flat, I don't see no contractions on there. I remember when she had the baby last time, it was, woo. I didn't see none of that, so I said, well, praise God. And every time somebody come in, they try to give us another spoonful of unbelief. Oh, you know, you're going to be here till she delivers. And like, we're not delivering now. We're going to deliver 2 months from now. You know? Come in. Oh, you're going to be here at least 2 or 36 weeks. And that's a month from now. And, no, we're not. We're leaving tomorrow. Okay? And sure enough, oh, my goodness. And I'll tell you what, I don't trust nurses no more. This nurse thinks this. This one thinks this. And just throw that all away. Let's just take the word of God and walk with it. Amen. So anyways, once the contractions stopped, we were there a whole other day. Never did a thing, sitting there, and then I'm getting real mad. What am I doing at this hospital? I want to go home. I miss you people. I miss being at school even. I miss going to work. That's how long I've been gone. It's terrible, isn't it? But anyways, sure enough, it all came around. God answered our prayers, which we knew he would. I appreciate my wife's faith. You know, that's not an easy thing to go through. I do believe it's just the devil getting upset. You know, God's children start getting victory, and he has to come around and make sure he tries to do whatever he can to take the victory away. But we're not going to let that happen. So praise be to God, all is well. She hasn't had no contractions since then, and I believe that it's going to hold off. So can we just give the Lord a hand clap? Yeah. Thank you, Lord. That all said, I've been gone the whole time since Sunday night till now. So I left church, went home about an hour, and then I'm back at church again. So I've been in the hospital the whole time. So I asked my brother Stephen to preach tonight. So he's here, and we're going to invite him out. So let's just stand together. We'll sing one more song as we invite him out. Actually, let's sing that song again, Dad. Do you remember what number that was? 162. Let's sing that a few more times as Brother Steve makes his way. You happy in the Lord?
Amen.
Amen. You got something to praise him for? I know I do. I just got another tally on the list, so I'm feeling real good.
How great is our God? How great is his word? He's the greatest one that ever was heard. He'll hold back the
Just invite our God in this service tonight.
Hallelujah. And how great is our God. How great is his word.
We worship you, Lord.
And he's the greatest one that ever was heard. He will back the waters of the mighty Red Sea. And he said, I'm gonna put your trust in me.
How great is our God.
How great is our God. How great is his word. And he's the greatest one that ever was heard. When he rolled back the waters,
thank you, Lord,
of the mighty Red Sea. Said, I'm going to lead you, so put your trust in me.
Who's thankful for that this evening? Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. We're so thankful, Lord. You have your Bibles. We'll go ahead and open up in the scripture. We're first going to go to Ephesians 1, then Romans 4. Who's happy to be in the house of the Lord?
Yes, Lord. Amen.
Amen. We're so thankful, aren't we?
Amen.
Just so thankful he still does what he said he would do, right?
That's right.
Shouldn't be too shocked.
Oh.
Somebody told you they're going to give you $50 and then they gave you $50. Not too big of a shock, is it? Yeah, they're going to do it as long as you had faith in them.
That's right.
As long as you believe them. Some people tell you you're going to give $50, you didn't believe them for nothing.
That's right.
But we don't have to do that with our God, do we?
Amen.
Aren't you thankful for that?
Amen.
Good to see you, Brother King. God bless you, buddy. We're going to start at Ephesians 1, and then we're going to go to Romans 4 after that. Ephesians 1, we're going to start at verse 3. Scripture reads, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all natural blessings." Oh, I'm sorry. I read that wrong. "Spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. To the praise of the glory of his law." No, I said that wrong again, didn't I? "Of his grace."
Yes.
"To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved." Amen. And the church said,
"Amen."
Romans 4, that's powerful, ain't it? We're getting to it, don't worry. Romans 4, I'm going to preach a message today called, "What a Blessing."
Amen.
Yeah, we're going to get Pentecostal
That's
today.
Right. That's right.
What a blessing.
Amen.
Romans 4, verse 4.
Praise.
"Now to him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace, but of death. But to him that worketh not,
Hallelujah.
But believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness.
Thank you, Lord.
Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man, unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Mm-hmm. Blessed is the man whom the Lord will not impute sin."
Hallelujah.
Bow our heads for a word of prayer.
Yes, Lord.
Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for the gathering of the saints once more, God.
Yes, Father.
I'm so thankful to be able to be called the servants of the Most High, to be called your bride, to be called sons and daughters of the living God. Father, there's no way we could have done it within ourselves, Lord. There's no way we could have crossed that great chasm, even as our prophet taught us. When man sinned, there was a great chasm. And unfortunately, man did not leave himself a way back. There was only one option if God would reach over and bring us back from the chasm. And we're so thankful, Lord, that you stepped from your throne, O God, to come down in flesh to bridge the gap that was always between you and us, Lord. You bridged the gap, O God, and now we have fellowship one with another, God. And we're so thankful, Lord, even in our sins, even in our complexes, our issues, everything, Lord, there's no chasm no more. Even in those issues and even in those problems, the prophet of God said the sin question has been settled. So therefore, sin cannot be in question anymore. It cannot hinder the moving and our fellowship with you, Lord. As long as we have that sincere heart, God. We're so thankful this evening for that, God.
Thank you.
We want to give this service into your hands, Lord. Lord, I give myself completely once more, oh God. You know, Lord, within myself, I feel like such a failure, Lord. There's nothing within me, God, that could help anybody, Lord. But God, if you so ordained me to stand up here, Father, then God, we just pray that you would meet all of our needs, Lord. Even as you promised in your word, God. We're here to hear from you, Lord. May you speak to us now in Jesus Christ's name. And his bride said,
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I'm going to read those two scriptures again, if you don't mind, because I just think they're so wonderful.
It's all right.
We're going to go back to Ephesians 1, verse 3.
Amen, brother.
And like I said, I'm going to preach a message called, What a Blessing.
Amen.
Because sometimes we think what a blessing is a new car, new house. Finally, all my bills are finally paid off.
Right.
My goodness, I got no issues, no problems, nothing like that.
Yeah.
But we're going to look at what a blessing really is
Amen.
To us.
Amen.
Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. You see, he's not saying natural blessings.
That's right.
It's spiritual blessings.
Yes,
it's things that are spiritual to us. Listen, the Bible even says we know no man after the flesh.
That's right.
We're not supposed to know things after the carnality of this flesh.
Jesus.
We know things by the Spirit. Even in 1 Corinthians 2, it says a spiritual man judges spiritual things with spiritual.
Amen.
That leaves no room for the flesh.
Right.
So we need to stop judging our issues, stop judging our situations based upon this guy.
That's right.
We need to stop judging each other and discerning each other after the flesh.
Amen.
I see many people do that. They'll judge you by the flesh. Well, your skirt ain't long enough. Oh, so you're the absolute now.
Right.
I didn't know you was walking around.
Amen.
I finally found my absolute. You was walking around. See, that's what happens. People do that. My revelation of the message and what I think. Romans 14 says, let every man be persuaded in his own mind.
Yes.
Listen, friends, if you actually, and I know, you know, the Bible does talk about how you can deceive yourself.
Sure.
But listen, friends, let's say you are deceiving yourself. Well, how do you get yourself out of it?
That's right.
If you're deceiving yourself, then how do you get yourself out? How do you do it?
Come on.
You see how we got to put ourselves in the hands of the Almighty God.
Yes, Lord God.
We can't really, in one sense, we can't really do anything to get out of it. If you're deceiving yourself, how would you?
That's right.
It'd have to be the hand of the Almighty God. I've told the devil that many times. The devil come to you and say, well, you're just deceiving yourself. Well, if I am, what am I going to do about it? What am I going to do about it? I got to put myself in his hands.
Yes.
Not my own hands, not in your hands, hands.
Amen.
Amen. And he's saying he has blessed us with these spiritual blessings.
Yes.
Amen.
In heavenly places in Christ. Brother Ramsey said heavenly places in Christ is what? Your position in Christ.
Yes.
You see, what we think sometimes is a blessing is these new things, new cars. I don't have no trouble. I have less gray hair. I have issues. I don't have any issues and stuff like that. He's saying that's not a blessing at all.
That's right. Come on.
If anything, that could actually take you away from Christ.
That's right.
If you got no problems, you don't have no need for him.
That's right.
You see, God knows what he's doing, don't he?
Amen.
That's why we're going to put it in his hands. Now, watch. He's going to describe to us this more blessing. Watch. According, in verse 4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundations of the world.
Amen.
What a blessing.
Amen.
That's a blessing right there. My blessing ain't Fiara. My blessing is I was chosen in him before. That was before I made a decision. Glory. That was before I ever did a sin. That was before I ever did a problem. Before the foundations of the world, I was chosen in him.
Amen.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
What a blessing. Oh, my. That's a good blessing. That's better than any car I could buy.
That's right.
I was chosen in him before. Not after, before. Oh, my.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
According as he had chosen us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy.
Yes.
Oh, my. What a blessing. Being holy is a blessing now.
Yes.
Oh, my. And without
blame.
Blame.
Yeah.
Before him. And love. Wait, so you have no blame?
That's right.
That's right.
Brother, how can that possibly be true? I know what I do every day.
Sure.
I know what I do and everything like that.
Amen.
You forgot how you're standing before him blameless. It says,
Jesus.
In love. You know what? We'll get to in a second. We'll get to that.
Sorry,
I'm going to slow down just a little bit, okay? Let's go to verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. I heard some people say you can be son of God but not be adopted. Tell me how.
No way.
Tell me how. If you're predestinated to adoption, you're not predestinated to son being a son.
Right.
You're predestinated to adoption.
Amen.
Yes.
So if you already had to have been a son, but now you're predestinated to adoption. Brother Bram said what? To be placed.
Yes.
Brother Bram said, Church Age Book, what happened? It was revealed to you.
Yes.
You were walking around as a son of God the whole time,
right,
but you didn't know. And then when the Spirit of God comes and brings the revelation.
Hallelujah.
Listen. Here we go.
Come on.
A revelation. People, I think, really misunderstand what a revelation really is. Where's a good example? We're going to use that speaker right there. Now, that's covered up. And rag's dirty. Anyways. I didn't realize it. I grabbed a dirty one. But anyways. If I'm covering this up, you don't know what it is. Now, I'm going to bring revelation to this. You ready?
Wow. Amen.
That was it.
That's right.
You see? When I cover this up and I'm going to bring revelation, does not mean I put anything there.
Yes.
If anything, all I did was take away a veil.
Yes.
And see, that's the thing. The whole time, you're this. The whole time, this is the speaker.
Yes.
But now, you know it.
Amen.
So you're walking around. There's a river of life flowing out of me.
Woo!
You're walking around that being true about you the whole time.
Right.
The only thing is you didn't know.
Amen.
So Spirit God comes and reveals what you've always been standing around being the whole time. Glory to God. That's why he said you're predestinated to adoption.
Amen.
Why? Because it's already in you. Brother Brandon said everything that you have for your earthly journey is already inside of you.
Yes.
That's the filling of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Even the rapture itself.
Yes.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Yes.
You know you don't get to decide if you're raptured or not.
That's right.
He did.
Yes.
Quit walking around thinking you're rapturing yourself.
Amen.
Oh, I don't live good enough. If the rapture came today, I ain't going to make it. Oh, it was never up to you whether you be raptured or not.
Amen.
He predestinated in you that he was going to take you. Amen. How are you going to kick yourself out? What a blessing.
Amen.
Oh my, what a blessing. Oh my, your new house looks a lot terrible now, don't it? That new car you've been praying about? Looks terrible compared to this right here.
Woo.
I ain't rapturing myself. He's rapturing me. I don't need to decide whether I'm being raptured or not. He decided it. Listen, friends. Brother Brandon preached a message called Choosing of a Bride.
Yes.
Not a bridegroom.
That's right.
We didn't go around and choose him. He walked around and chose us.
Amen.
So how do you kick yourself out now?
Amen.
All you had to do was accept it.
That's it.
We're getting to it in a minute. What a blessing, amen. We're getting to it. Ephesians 1:5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. I guess you weren't such a bad choice after all. His good pleasure of his will was you being chosen in him to
amen.
Be holy and without blame. That was his good pleasure.
Amen.
Of his will, not yours.
Oh, Jesus.
His will. See, you ain't rapturing yourself. See, you didn't save yourself. He did it.
Amen.
It was his good pleasure of his will. Verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace. I'm going to say that again. To the praise. Oh my, I got praise now.
Amen.
To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath, past tense,
woo,
made us,
yes,
accepted,
Lord,
in the beloved.
Thank you.
What a blessing.
Amen.
Oh my, that just
Amen.
Gets me excited real quick. What a blessing. It takes you out.
That's right.
And puts you in. Oh my God. Let's go to Romans 4. Romans 4, verse 4. I'll let you turn there, and I'm going to get a drink.
Thank you, Jesus.
Romans 4, verse 4. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. Why? Because if you were working for the promise, if you had to do certain things for the promise and
yep.
so forth like that, then now God would have to owe you.
Yes, that's it.
You are giving him a certain service, and now he's
yep.
in debt to you.
Preach, brother.
Watch. And that's what he's saying. It's to him that worketh. If you had to work for this, then the reward to you would now be of debt. God owed you.
Right.
But to him that worketh not. This is so against our flesh, ain't
that's
it?
That's right.
This is so against what we think with this guy.
Yes, yes,
to him that worketh not.
Yep.
I mean, it is not based on a single work now. But to him, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness.
Amen.
So now your faith of all the works that you do
yes, come on.
Means that it's not counted for righteousness.
That's right.
You see what I'm saying? Listen, friends, I don't know, last time I said, I do believe in doing good works. The Bible even says we're created unto good works and stuff like
yeah.
that. But listen, friends, I think we do put the cart before the horse sometimes.
Yes.
That's why we defeat ourselves. That way we put ourselves down below our position. It's because we don't understand this quite what this means. It's against every part of our flesh. It's against our human nature. Brother Brandon, you're talking about Moses. When Moses went to go speak to the Red Sea, he prophesied and said, we're not going to see the Egyptians no more.
That's right.
And
yes,
we
sir.
Walk around believing that we're going to be raptured. We have all conquered over the devil. And then Brother Brandon said, what did Moses do? He's saying, well, Lord, how you going to do it? Please do it, Lord. Are you going to do it? Is it thus saith the Lord? Is it this? Is it that? Is it this? Is it that? Brother Brandon said, isn't that just like human nature?
Yes, it is.
He said, isn't that just like me? He said, I know what the word said
that's
he was
right.
going to do.
Amen.
But now I'm going back and saying, well, Lord, are you going to do it? Brother Branham said he should have known he was going to do it because he already did it before.
Right.
Brother Branham said that Moses was already proven to have the word of God inside of him.
Amen.
We walk around like we don't know.
Right.
I thought you got the Holy Ghost.
That's right. it.
If you got the Holy Ghost, that means the word was
right.
inside of you before that.
Hallelujah.
So the word is inside of you tonight still. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, come on.
What a blessing.
That's it.
What a blessing. You didn't even choose that word being inside of you. Now he did, amen. You didn't decide it. He decided, amen. Brother Ben called this his drama.
Yes.
Brother Ben called it his drama. That means he's the director, not you.
Amen.
Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? You know why? That's why Peter said you have to treat him as a faithful creator.
Amen.
You have to treat him like that. You have to believe he did it.
Amen.
You have to believe it for yourself. And stop knowing yourself. after the flesh.
Amen, brother.
Stop knowing yourself after the flesh.
Amen.
Listen, friends, take all the feelings out. I have to do this every day. You got to take every single feeling out. You got to take every single thing that you feel in your flesh and, oh, that funny feeling, that must have been the devil or something like that. You don't have any feelings. Don't base it on any feelings. Just take what the Word said.
Yes.
I've been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I have received the Holy Ghost.
Yes. Yes.
This is, this is going to get good now.
Yeah, come on.
Brother Branham said in Look, Brother Branham talked about how Billy Paul was standing there and they were hunting or something and he had a rangefinder. And so Billy Paul told Brother Branham to say, hey, here, look through this rangefinder. And he said what happened was he put that rangefinder on. And he looked, he said he saw actually three images.
That's right.
Of the same. He was looking at a tree and he saw three trees. He saw three trees, but when he put it down, he saw one. So he put up his legalistic glasses again,
yes.
and he looked, and he saw three trees. But he said, but my human intellect knew there was only one tree.
That's right.
And see, and that's what happened. We take our situations, we take our issue, and now we divide ourselves from the promise of God. Now we divide ourselves from everything. And we start looking through the Word, it actually come together. And it be the same thing. We got to get, Brother Ramsey, you got to get your range fighter.
Yes,
you got to get him focused to the Word of God. Quit focusing. See, if you keep straining at your situations, keep straining at your issues, you're going to fall. Because you can get, wow, that's good. Brother Ramsey talked about that swim bicycle race.
Yes, sir.
I don't know if anybody knows that. Brother Ramsey talked about that swim bicycle race. What was it? It was a contest. I think there was a ramp a foot off the ground or something. And I think a foot wide or something like that. And the object was, you had to take a bike, I think maybe 30 feet. And ride down this ramp.
Yes,
and
just
go all the way down 30 feet to make it. And so everybody kept trying, and all these good bikers, right? And they would always keep falling off, though. They just couldn't do it. Finally, this dorkiest kid, one that nobody thought was good, nobody thought he could do it, something like that, he actually gets on his bike, and he did it. He won. And so the other kids, the good kids, the ones who lived righteous, Pharisees and so forth, came up and said, how did you do it? How did you do that? He's like, well, I saw what you all did wrong. He said, you kept looking at the sides. You kept looking at where you could fall.
Right.
He said, so all I did was I looked at the finish line.
That's right.
Oh, kept my eyes focused on the finish line. And he took that bike, and that bike took him straight to the finish line.
Amen.
And we got to get our eyes focused on the finish line.
Yes.
Amen. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Amen. Amen. The Lord himself shall descend with a sharp voice and trump, and we shall be caught up together in him. Keep your eyes focused.
Yes.
Keep your eyes focused. Don't worry about where you're going to fall. Don't worry about the situations in your flight. Keep your eyes focused. Quit dividing the finish line.
Amen.
Keep your eyes single.
Amen.
That was good.
Yes.
Jesus said, keep your eyes single.
Single.
And that's your rest of your body shall be single.
Right.
Amen.
You got to keep your eyes single.
Praise be to God.
It's to him that worketh not. Can we believe that?
Amen.
It's not to him that works. It's to him that worketh not. I know. People, for some reason, don't like that. And I still can't figure that out for the life of me.
Right.
People still think they got to do something for it.
Amen. Amen.
People still think in their carnal mind and their thinking and their and the things of whatever they're thinking that can't be that simple.
Sure.
It simply can't be that simple. I'm going to show you how simple it is. You ready?
Amen.
Verse 4. Now to him that worketh is reward not reckoned of grace but of death. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness.
Yes,
even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Now, are we good? I didn't write that.
That's right.
Well, I kind of did, maybe, but. But we believe this to be God's word, right?
Amen.
God wrote this, and the Bible says, by holy men, moved by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost wrote.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
And so God inspired Paul with his hand to pen, you are righteous without works.
Amen.
Now this ain't my inspiration. This ain't Paul's inspiration. This ain't what we figured up. God Almighty himself, the creator of the universe, inspired Paul to move his hand and say, you are righteous without
works.
Amen, Father.
We got to start believing that, don't we?
Yes, sir.
If God believed that about us, see, why not? I say, why not?
Yeah.
Brother, aren't you afraid people are going to do whatever they want? No.
That's right.
Because the Bible also says the grace of God teaches us to deny unrighteousness. Listen, friends, I don't think you should go smoking anytime soon. Drinking, partying, rousing. Amen? But listen, like I said last time, that Galatian church.
Yes.
was hit a lot more than that Corinthian church. Everybody likes hitting on that Corinthian church, called the Book of Corrections and so forth. But that Galatian church was smacked a lot harder than he was. Why? Because they got legalist on God. They said, have you begun in the spirit, or you made perfect in the flesh now? What makes you think you're going to be perfect? What makes you think? Oh, we just had a brother Samuel Brown preach a message, and I love his title. He said, called it a son, being a son of God by the blood.
Yes.
Not by a law. Not by a creed, that's not right. By a dogma, not because you acted different. Yeah. You are a son of God by the blood, amen. Yeah. By the blood of the covenant, by the sprinkling of the blood on you, are you now sanctified in Him? Yes. Listen, the second stage of sanctification was typed in the sanctification of the earth was what? Blood hitting the earth.
Right.
It wasn't the earth changing its works and stuff. Now, don't get me wrong, you do change, you do different things. Don't get me wrong about that. But listen, that never sanctified you. That's because you were sanctified.
Yes.
Because you did get the blood of the covenant on you.
Amen.
That's why your thinking changes.
Yes, sir.
In one sense, that's why now the devil can get on you and try to get you legalist. Did you ever try to be a legalist before you got the Holy Ghost? Oh, I better stop doing this. I better stop doing that. No, nobody cared.
That's right.
I didn't care. I told this testimony many times. Before I was saved, I used to cuss just like any other person.
Sure.
Oh, but then when I got saved, I still had a problem with it. I still cuss. The only difference now, though, is I heard it every time. And I didn't like it. I didn't want to do it no more. Oh, I didn't want to do it like that. And eventually, I stopped. Now, I even had the devil come and give that thought, and you had the thought of the word in your mind. And I even about spoke it one time. I remember one time specifically. I about said it. So, clamped. And I said, wait a minute. Where did that come from? Wait. I didn't do that. If you only understand, you did. But it wasn't this guy. Brother Branham said, John said, greater is he that is within you than he that's in the world.
Yes, amen.
That, because I yielded the Spirit of God, it was so greater that even my flesh and my carnal mind, it clipped my mouth.
Yes.
You know me. Amen.
It clipped the mouth and stopped it. Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Before I could even do it.
Amen.
That's what I want. Amen. What a blessing. Amen. But when I would be going to sin, He will stand right there and stop it before I do it.
Thank you, blessed Father.
Oh, my. Aren't you glad for that blessing? Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Romans 4:6. Even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, now remember, this is the description of blessedness now. We're going to read the description of blessedness. You ready? Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven. Wait a minute. You're going to have iniquity. You're going to have iniquity now. See, that's what we do a lot of times to ourselves. I knew I should have done that. Oh, I guess I'm Matthew 7 now. I'm a worker of iniquity now. I think I was talking to Dad about this, or somebody, I can't remember who now. It's amazing me how the scripture would describe it like this. He said, you workers, I never knew you, right? Depart from me. But the Bible also said that if God should mark iniquity, who would stand?
That's right.
Who could stand? Well, I don't see nobody standing, and I would be sitting right now if I could. So see, how does that work exactly? Right here. Blessed are they whose iniquities, not even just sin, not even mistakes. You mean the blood of Christ could be that powerful?
Yes, Lord.
Yes, it is.
That even iniquity is not even imputed to you no more.
Yes.
Wow.
See how you're righteous now? It ain't by your works. Amen. It ain't going to be by your mind. It was the blood of the covenant sprinkled upon you.
Thank you. I sanctified
you.
Thank you.
I cleansed you.
Thank
but man said, when sin goes into the blood, it's like a little drop of ink going into a big bowl of bleach.
Amen.
And bleach, Brother Branham said, bleach was constructed. It was created to destroy. He talked about how during the times when his mom and his grandma were trying to clean clothes, they would try to use water and soap and everything like that, and you could never fully get the stain out. You would always see it. And during this time, he said, but isn't it amazing? Just at this time, Brother Branham talked about at the opening of the seals. He said, ain't it amazing? Just at this time, they have created a chemical called bleach. Created a chemical called bleach.
Blood.
That not only will it just cover the stain, but it gets down the stain. And what he said, it tears that stain all the way down to its chemical basis. He would describe it like this in chemistry. He said, to make the ink, he said it'd be this nitrogen times 2 to this oxygen, this water, to this, that, or another. He said, if you would change this one chemical, it wouldn't be black, it'd be purple now. If you change this one part, it wouldn't be ink, it'd be water, and so forth like that. He said, but the bleach was a constructed chemical that would get down into them chemicals and break them pieces apart now. So now you wouldn't just have ink constructed. Brother Branham said sin was a creation. You wouldn't just have sin as this molecule. The bleach would come in and tear it up.
Hallelujah.
So now the water that was used to be attached to the nitrogen or to the chemical, other chemicals have now been ripped apart.
Glory
now they're
God.
Separated.
Glory
now they're circumcised.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
And Brother Ray said, ain't it amazing they just created to today? I said, amen. When he said that, I said, that's exactly right. Because through the last seven church ages, they never quite understood that.
That's right.
Through the seven church ages, all they were thinking was you just keep wiping and wiping and wiping, trying to wipe the stain off. But we finally, in this last day, have been revealed. The blood didn't just wipe it away, amen. It just didn't cover it. It was created to destroy sin. So the Bible said the Son of God was manifested to destroy the works of Satan. So now the blood of Christ, when that drop of ink goes in there, it rips you from the sin now. It ripped you from the sin. It is not imputed to you no more. How are you sanctified? By the blood, amen. Amen. I wish we stopped the... There's a lot of people who try to stop preaching on the blood.
That's right. God,
and after he preached that, it stirred me up. I'm going to start looking up that blood. I think that's so important.
Yes.
For us to understand how we can be a son of God. How we can have the power of God in our churches. How we even going to be raptured.
That's right.
It amazes to me how, you know, Brother Raymond talked about, about Ruth. About when Ruth went through her sanctification stage. He said it was her legalistic stage. And I think that is important for a believer when you first get saved and so forth. You and everybody can contest to this. You start acting a little legalist. Oh, I got to stop doing this. I got to stop doing that. And that is an important part of your stage of growth. Don't get me wrong. But then the Bible also says you start maturing.
Yes, that's it.
And the Bible says you'll start maturing. What will happen? You'll be able to discern both good and evil.
Right.
That's right.
So now you'll be able to learn how to adjust to yourself. How to, you know, Brother Andrew, talk about that swimmer. When you first start swimming, you throw them in. Andrew and me can test it. We got thrown into the Pacific Ocean or whatever. And you just go, you're just trying to live now. You don't go water, Kyle.
Hey, that's
you,
it.
You can't breathe over there. You ain't no blowfish. You know, you're going like this. And he said, what would happen is you'd waste so much energy.
Oh, my.
You'd waste so Lord much energy, God. And you wouldn't go nowhere.
That's good.
All you're just doing is staying alive. But then once you start maturing,
yes,
and start discerning the waves and discerning your own hands and how to fold your hands down a little bit. Now what you can do. He said you could go for miles and not even break a sweat. Once you start learning how to do it. And that's what it is with every Christian believer.
Oh, that's good. That's
now, this is caressology, okay? So, I've heard this before. I could be wrong, okay? So Andrew can correct me later if he wants to. I have heard this before. You know that story about Brother Ram talking about how he had that Cadillac in his... Somebody gave him that Cadillac and he would just keep it in his garage. Because he said, I don't want people thinking, if I'm driving up this nice Cadillac and I go to a meeting and so forth like that, I don't want to think like I'm rich or something like that. But then I had a brother tell me, did you know later on in his life he actually started driving that Cadillac? And I'm like, really? He's like, yeah, he started driving it around. And I'm like, you know what? That's actually... And his point was, you see, he even had to learn. He was even learning how to break the waves. Learning how to adjust himself. Listen, I understand Brother Ram's position on that, but you also need a car.
Sure.
You got to drive the car, right? So maybe in his earlier age, maybe in the legalistic stage or something like that, oh, I don't want to do this because of this, this, and this, and this, and this, and this, and this. But now when you start learning to break the waves, learning how to adjust to yourself,
amen.
Now maybe it would be okay for him to drive that Cadillac now. Now see, we all do this on the Spirit of God, right? We're all doing this in a relationship with God. He didn't lose his relationship. You know what I mean? He didn't stop talking to God because of the Cadillac. That's the big thing right there.
That's it.
He didn't lose his relationship. He was just learning to mature. Listen, friends. This is a blessing right here.
Yes.
This is the blessing right here. Listen, we can actually understand ourselves. Understand who we are. What it means when we call ourselves the sons of God. When we understand that I do have flesh, I do have a spirit, and I do have a soul. And learning how to break the waves.
Amen.
Just like I think I said last time about letting off the pressure and so forth like that. You have to learn how to break the waves. You got to learn this. And I think this is a key part right here. Is to understand first off, You ain't righteous by them ways to begin with.
Hallelujah.
You ain't righteous because you got your arms messed up a little bit.
That's right.
Listen, I don't know if I'm just preaching part two, I guess, what I preached last time. I'm sorry. But you know how Brother Ben talked about the token.
Yes, sir.
But if I ever talk about the token, would you even look at the scripture? When Moses came and said, I'm going to give you the rules for a token and how to apply the token. He didn't say, okay, now make sure you got your hair cut, sir, right? Make sure you got a certain length. Make sure you got this. Make sure you got that. Make sure you're doing this now. Make sure you're praying three times a day. Make sure you're reading your Bible. What did he say? Take the blood. Take the blood that's already been given to you.
Yes, sir.
Take hyssop.
Yep.
Which is what?
Common faith.
Common faith.
Yes, sir.
Common faith. Any faith you can grab anywhere, right? Hyssop was a common weed and so forth like that. Take common old faith that you have any day, take it, and apply it to the door.
That's it.
Didn't matter if you were funny looking.
That's right.
Didn't matter if you had a bad haircut that day. Didn't matter. As long as that death angel saw the blood. You could look like them. You could have major problems. You could have mind battles. You could have this. You could have so many issues. But as long as the blood was there. As long as the blood was there. Amen. As long as the blood was there. The death angel went past you. Amen. Quit focusing on the flesh. Make sure the blood's there. Amen. The Bible says make your calling and election sure. Make sure the blood's on the door. Amen.
Amen.
And the death angel will pass. Why? Because it shows somebody already died there.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Somebody already died for that person's place. I have to pass.
Glory
Jesus Christ
God.
Died for our place.
Yes, he did.
Apply the blood. Amen. Brother Rand said, what is the life in the blood now? It's the Spirit of God. Make sure it's applied.
Amen. That's
oh,
it.
Aren't you glad?
Yes, I am.
Hallelujah.
You had to make sure all the leaven was out too, though.
That's right.
We ain't preaching grace, disgrace now. Like I just said, grace of God will teach us to deny unrighteousness.
Amen.
It will teach us to do that. It will teach us not to lie and cheat and smoke and stuff like that. Sure. But listen, friends, the Bible says if we do sin, we have an advocate.
Amen.
You didn't lose it. You don't lose it. You never will lose it.
Amen.
The Bible calls it the blood of the everlasting covenant. Amen. The Bible types that covenant, when David received the covenant from God, it was a covenant of salt. And praise you know what salt does, Brother Kyle? When you put salt on a meat, you know what it does?
It preserves it.
It keeps it. It stays.
Yes.
And that's typed in the same blood covenant we have. It doesn't just go away. It was a covenant of salt. That means it's everlasting.
Amen.
And the Bible says that Jesus Christ died once for sins.
Amen.
And yet we keep trying to put him on the cross, killing him.
That's
again.
Right. Yes, sir.
He only died once for sins. And it was an everlasting covenant.
Yes,
the blood was everlasting.
Amen.
The Bible says if his blood wasn't that, he'd have to continue to suffer since the foundations of the world.
That's right.
Now, why? Because it had to be everlasting. It had to be even redeeming you before the, because you were there before the foundations of the world.
Glory to God.
That's why he said if the blood did not take away sin fully, then he'd have to suffer since the foundations of the world. Why? Because you were there before it.
Amen.
Oh, praise be to God. That gets me excited. I just caught that. Did you catch that? The reason why that he had to do that, it only proves where you were then.
Right, amen.
But his blood wasn't like that. He only had to die for sins once.
Yes.
Amen.
And it destroyed sin so much,
oh,
even looked 2,012 years ago to a Stephen Caruso and was able to destroy the sin in his life.
Amen.
Amen. Ain't that powerful? What is a blessing?
Yes.
What is a blessing to us? What really stirs us up? Now listen, friends, if you do get a new car for free because you won a contest, I'd probably get excited too. Okay? Just saying. If I signed up for a Fiara or something like that and they call me, hey, you won, I'd probably get excited. Don't get me wrong. But listen, friends, if this stuff don't either, if this stuff doesn't do nothing to us, even if you didn't have that Ferrari, what would you still do?
Amen.
You see what I'm saying? What really is a blessing to our lives now?
Right.
Let's try to finish that, Romans 4. Oh, Lord Jesus, help
us.
My God, who loves the Lord?
Amen.
Romans 4:7, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin.
Amen.
Not cannot.
Oh, my.
It's not like he can't do it if he wanted to.
That's right.
But the Bible says he will not now.
Will not.
He actually chose you then? See? He chose us before the foundation of the world.
So good.
Yes, listen, Lord. He had to actually make a conscious decision and said, I'm going to keep him. Just like Adam.
Thank you, Father.
Amen.
When Adam saw his wife in sin, he had to make a conscious decision. And he chose because he loved her that I'm going to go down with her.
Yes,
Yes, Lord.
That's right. Nobody didn't leave them no way back. That's why they fell. But Christ acted the same way. If I remember correctly, I heard a man say that Brother Ram said, when God saw what Adam did, he said, oh man, I want to do that. Oh yeah, God. He acted the same way his father did.
Right.
Which was what? Right. He would not forsake himself. I'm bleeding. Look at that. That's all right. I'm tougher than that. Right? He would not deny himself.
Amen.
No matter what.
Amen.
He would not deny himself. Oh, blessed is the man whom the Lord will not. Will not impute sin. Now, who believes that about them?
I do.
Yes. If you believe that about you, then why do you keep condemning yourself?
Amen, brother.
He ain't going to impute it to you.
That's right.
Listen, there's a difference between conviction. Don't get me wrong. The Lord wants us to do certain things and stuff like that. But I will say this too. It ain't your job to convict yourself.
That's right.
That's why Romans 14 was even written. It said, blessed is the man, or it says, let every man be persuaded in his own mind. Some man believes he can do this, some man can do that. Who cares? Let him. He said, because the Holy Ghost ain't meat or drink.
That's right.
It said, but it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
If that brother can do it, maybe you can. That's fine. Let's all live together.
Praise God.
Quit drawing the circle so small, only you, yourself, and I can fit in. Brother Ram talked about them bunch of preachers who kicked him out of this circle, right? He said, we're going to draw a circle and circle you out. He said, I'll do one for you. I'll draw a bigger circle you right back in.
That's right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Quit thinking like this.
Yeah.
You know what? If you got a Baptist brother who can't believe what you can, just draw the circle bigger and make sure he's in it.
Amen. That's right.
Oh, my.
That's
you got a family member who can't quite believe and they just have trouble. Just make sure you draw a circle bigger and get a man.
Amen.
Maybe you don't have a believing husband or a believing spouse or something like that. Just draw the circle bigger and make sure they're in.
Amen, brother.
Brother Ram said. Or no, Paul said. And I've always wondered this, too. Because I wonder why we don't believe this sometimes. The Bible says that in the marriage covenant, he said, now I say this, not the Lord. He said, if a man have an unbelieving or a woman have an unbelieving husband, he said, if they're content to live with each other, let them. Because the Bible says the believing wife will sanctify the unbelieving husband.
Right.
How?
Come on.
Really?
Yeah.
How could that possibly be true? You got to look where the blood's at.
That's it. Hallelujah.
Brother Banner said the church, oh, glory to God. The church is the blood by the Spirit.
Hallelujah.
The church is the blood by the Spirit of God.
Yes, sir.
So if you're walking around, how could that?
That's right.
Listen, how else could Paul say that? How could the husband, the believing husband, sanctify the unbelieving wife? Where's the blood?
That's it, brother.
Your prayer is a lot more powerful than I think you think sometimes.
Oh, that's true.
Amen.
Just like Andrew talking about praying for Ellie and stuff like that. The Bible says don't be weary in well-doing, because we'll reap if we hold on.
Amen. Yes, sir.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Where is the blood? Where is the forgiveness of sins? Where is it? It's in you.
Amen.
Where else do people see it? It's so powerful that it can even forgive your unbelieving husband. Or unbelieving wife.
That's good.
If anybody has one in here, I don't know. But it's so powerful. That's how powerful the blood is. So why can't we apply that to ourselves? Why can't we walk in that? Listen, it sounds good on paper. Sounds good when you say it in church, don't it?
Come on.
But now go to work.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Now wake up in the morning, and what happens? Oh, boy. Did that wrong again.
Yep.
Oh boy, I did this wrong again. Oh boy, I did that wrong again. Could I really read my Bible now? Could I really pray it? What's the point? What's the point of going to church? I ain't a believer anyways. You see what I'm saying? Quit basing on their feelings. Quit basing on their thoughts. He said it.
Amen.
And I believe it.
I believe it.
That's right. I believe it. Oh, that's a blessing, don't you think?
Amen.
That's a blessing. Listen, a whole bunch of money ain't a blessing. Because Brother Man talking about how that man could have a whole bunch of money, but he goes to bed every night thinking, am I going to wake up in the morning?
That's
but
right.
Praise be to God. You can have no money. You can have no clothes. You can have no finances, everything like that. But the real blessing is to have a peace that even if you would die in your sleep, you'll wake up.
Amen.
You'll wake up. And one of these mornings, you'll wake up in the resurrection morning. Amen. Oh, God, what a blessing to the bride. Amen.
Oh, I believe it, Lord.
Blessed is the man whom the Lord will not.
Will
not. Will not. Can you believe that? How do you prove that, brother? By faith. If you can believe that for yourself, amen.
Amen.
You have to believe you were sprinkled by the blood.
Amen.
If you were, you will live different. Don't worry. If you will, you will act different.
Amen.
Oh my. See, that's the thing though. Why? I don't know what it is about message believers sometimes. Why do we still think it's works?
Amen.
We still get that in our thinking. We still think that, well, I haven't worked enough for this. How could I possibly lay my hands on that person? I haven't worked enough. Mm. How could I? How could I? How could I? We got to stop getting, got to get that thinking out of our head.
Amen.
You are righteous without works.
Amen.
You are righteous without works. You got to believe that.
Yes, sir.
And I'm going to show you a woman who did believe that. And just a woman. Stop believing. We're going to talk about... Oh, boy. Let me get a drink of water. I'm not even halfway done, just so you know.
That's all right.
Praise God.
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I got work, too. Okay. There's a story, or not a story, there's a little thing that happened in Luke 7. There was a woman one time. Actually, in the beginning of this, Jesus actually did a little teaching and so forth, and then there was a Pharisee that desired Jesus to come dine with him.
Amen.
And Brother Ram taught us what? That Jesus goes wherever he's invited.
That's right.
Aren't you glad?
Amen.
Jesus will go to your house if you invite him, even if you have all these problems.
Amen.
I mean, he went to a Pharisee's house.
Sure did.
He knew what they were going to do.
That's right.
He found out later. He knew they were Pharisees and stuff like that, and he still went.
That's
so
right.
Aren't you glad when you call for him, even in your sincere heart, he'll still come?
Yes.
Even in all your trials and even all your problems, he'll still come to you. He goes where he's invited.
Yes, he does.
So
Amen.
Simon, this guy Simon, invited Jesus to his house. And Jesus goes there, and we all know the story. Jesus goes there, and what happens? They didn't clean his feet. You know, like when they would walk during them times, they would just have them sandals, and they had to walk with all the animals and everything like that. And so they would step in the dirt and everything like that, make them smell and everything like that. So proper etiquette was when a person came into your house, you would actually sit down, and they would wash your feet off. And then because you're on the road and you smell and stuff, they would actually give you a spray some ointment, anoint your hair because you got all dirty and stuff. So they take a little oil and rub that in your hair so you look nice. They'd even give you a change of garments too and things like that. That was proper etiquette. But when Jesus showed up, he didn't get none of that. Could you imagine Jesus going in there like that? This man invited you to your house. Think about, put yourself in their shoes. Jesus invited you to this house. They didn't even wash your feet. You have to smell like manure, do this and do that, and all you got to do is just sit down. They didn't do nothing like that. You dirty, ragged hair, anything like that, you just sit down. And everybody else is walking around clean,
sure,
nice, smelling good, and the Word is sitting here all dirty.
Oh, come on.
And everything like that.
That's
they wouldn't
it.
Even take care of it, right?
Right.
But Jesus doesn't say a word.
That's right.
He didn't say anything. He was invited. And he just sat down, dirty, smelling, everything like that. And there was a little woman. There was a little woman who saw him like that.
Dude.
Saw the word, not taken care of.
Amen.
I'm going to re-quote for you. Pride 55. Oh, is it possible, she said, this woman. Is it possible that that's him? The lovely one. The one I heard him say, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden. God, you know my heart. I don't have to speak a word. She said, I can't. I'm beside myself. And she starts weeping, seeing the word in this situation. This is the man that can help me. This is the man that can do something.
Yes.
And she comes crying. Her heart's burning. She said, I can't even say a word. I don't even have to say a word. She didn't say nothing to Jesus.
That's right.
The Bible says she came behind him. Could he even approach him to his face? Came down. Now remember, there's a whole bunch of people here now. And she knows they all know who she is.
Sure.
Man. She ain't caring anymore. Something else became important to her at this point. She came in and she was willing to get down on her knees before the Lord. Remember, before this time too, she was a prostitute. So in that business, I would imagine that they would wear that makeup and stuff like that.
Sure.
To make sure they're pretty. Broid their hair and stuff like that. You know, the Bible talks about, Brother Brandon taught us that broided hair means you were a street woman.
Right.
So she would broil her hair. But now when she's facing Jesus, when she starts crying, them tears of repentance, what happens? Starts washing and cleaning
Lord. Her
past life off.
Yes.
The hair that once was symbolized, to symbolize her as a street woman, was now used, to wash the feet of Jesus.
Amen.
And she's doing all this, and Jesus still doesn't say a word at all.
That's right.
Doesn't say nothing. Just lets her do it.
Amen.
Doesn't say anything. And finally, Simon looks. Whoa. And the Bible says, he said within himself, that man was a prophet. He knew what kind of woman that was.
Mm.
Remember, it was all up in here. Never
sure.
even say that.
That's right.
And I could imagine Jesus never said a word. Never said anything. Even after he's treated like that, And even when this woman's doing this work on her, he's just sitting there. But as soon, as soon as that thought came and he perceived it, the Bible says he perceived it, that someone was making fun of her.
Oh, my.
Simon.
Woo.
I have something to say to you now. He didn't care if they made fun of him. Woo. And he was letting her do the work. But as soon as somebody, amen, tried to condemn that woman, he had to speak up. Say, Simon, I got something to say to you.
Yes.
Glory to God, he does the same thing for us, amen.
Yes. Yes. Praise his name.
He lets you do the work. People can make fun of him. But as soon as somebody says something about you, he's got to pipe up.
That's right.
You ain't going to make fun of my wife like that. Simon, I got something to say to you.
Amen.
So you know what he said? Master, say on. You know, Simon knows. Master, say on. So what did he say? He gives him the parable. He gives him a parable. He said, there's two men who owed a creditor.
Yep.
He said, one owed 50 pence, one owed 500 pence. He said, and in the course of time, he said, he just frankly forgave them both.
That's right.
He said, who would love him more?
That's right.
And the man, Simon, said, I suppose the one he forgave most. He said, you're rightly just.
That's right.
He said, I've been in this house this long, and you did nothing to me. You never gave me oil for my hair. You never washed my feet. You never clothed me. You never sprayed perfume on me or nothing like that. He said, but this woman, since I've stepped in here, has not ceased to wash my feet.
Amen.
Has not ceased to do a work on me. And what did he say? Though her sins be many, put yourself there. Whoa. Though your sins will be many, still many, will always be many, they're all forgiven.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
What was a blessing to this woman? What was a blessing to this woman? It wasn't a new car. It wasn't having the big old house. She heard from the Lord's mouth.
Yes.
Thy sins are forgiven.
Hallelujah.
Though they be many, are all forgiven. Now, do you believe that?
Yes, sir.
So why you keep digging them up?
That's right.
Yeah, I know. I'm there too. Why do we keep digging them up? We got to stop acting like grave diggers.
Right.
You know that's illegal, right?
Amen.
Amen. Don't you know that's illegal, right? You can't go to a grave and quit grave digging. You're not allowed to dig up graves. Why do we keep digging up graves, amen? It's illegal. It's against God's word. Quit sinning and digging up your past. Woo, glory to God, amen. Whew, that was good.
Yes.
I better write that one down.
Yes.
We do that, don't we?
Yeah.
We dig the graves up. We dig all of our issues up, dig all of our problems up. Even dig currently what's going on. It's always been dead. Listen, the Bible says he died for sins once.
That's right.
Not any more times. You don't need nothing else. You've been sprinkled. But you don't need to be keep sprinkled.
That's right.
He's not doing this. He probably run out of blood.
That's
it's not that chemistry anyways. You understand what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But you just needed it once.
Yeah.
And it sanctified you.
Yes.
Till the day. The Bible says the Holy Spirit is a seal.
Yes.
Until the day of your redemption. Brother Ram said, you'll be surprised who makes it.
That's true.
Because you have to understand, 5 minutes of your decision could change your eternal destination. Listen, you may have trouble in the flesh.
Sure.
Listen, you may have problems. The Bible says God's not mocked. Don't be deceived. God's not mocked.
Right.
Whatever you sow, you reap.
That's right.
If you reap to the flesh, you reap fleshly things.
Right.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
But listen, if you got the seal wasn't based upon whether you sowed or reaped or something like that.
Right.
It was based, Brother Man said, 5 minutes of your decision.
Amen.
You chose it. He sealed you right then.
Amen. Right.
And you will be there until the day of your redemption.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
You have to.
Thank you, bless
you. You have to. Otherwise, the blood of God wasn't good enough.
That's right.
Amen. Otherwise, the Spirit of God made a mistake.
Woo.
No way. That's it, brother. Come on.
You'd have to put him in that.
That's true.
Now, that is really good.
Yes.
Thank you.
No, we're not mistakes.
Oh, gee.
Now, I'm gonna be a little prideful on Andrew a little bit.
That's right.
But I know for a fact Andrew was a mistake.
That's right.
my mom told us that a long time ago, and I said, oh, look at that. I'm the playing child. I was the playing child. But he's the, oops, you know. But aren't you glad there is no mistake, children, from God? He didn't mess up one time. God's not a liar.
That's right.
God ain't a liar.
No, sir.
We got to stop making him a liar.
Yes.
You have to believe when he sprinkled you with the blood and you got the Holy Ghost, he wasn't making mistakes.
Amen.
And he ain't going to lose you. He says, I will not lose one. from my hand. Oh, don't you see if we get this revelation of grace in our lives and stuff like that, we can beat up the devil anytime.
That's right. We can take him out anytime.
If we really understand the blessing that this woman had, of when we believe the word, when we saw the word of God dirty and stuff like that, and people mocking and make fun of it, we went up to it and said, I don't care what you say, I believe it.
Yes,
I believe what it says. I believe in the filling of the Holy Ghost, amen. I believe in Malachi 4. I believe a messenger was given to us, amen.
Amen.
I believe it.
I believe it.
Amen.
No matter what you say, I believe what it said.
Amen.
That's you got that? That's the same attitude that woman had.
Yes.
And the same Jesus said to her, your sins, though they be many, are forgiven.
Amen.
When God himself in flesh talked to Simon, he pointed to her works. Now, her works wasn't a bunch of good living. She didn't walk in front of Jesus and say, look how many things I didn't do wrong today. What'd she do? She believed God. She was willing to bring tears of repentance.
Yes.
She was willing to wash. Remember, water types praise in the Bible. Right. The man talked about that too. When Rebecca with the camels, when Eliezer brought the camel stuff, she was willing to get the water for the camels, and Brother Man said that type praise and worship. Listen, friends, it's not about just a certain code of living and stuff like that. She was willing to praise God. She was willing to go to church. She was willing to hear the word. She was willing to believe every word, even if she didn't feel like it.
Amen.
There ain't no way she felt like it, I'll tell you that. But she was willing to believe the word.
Yes,
sir.
No matter what. It's not to him that worketh not, but to him that believeth.
Amen.
That he can justify the ungodly.
Amen.
What a blessing.
Oh, praise.
When he talked to Simon, she pointed to what she did.
Amen.
But then when Simon looked back at the woman, he said, what? Thy faith.
Yes, sir.
Hath saved thee.
Amen.
So she was doing that work. Why? Because she believed.
Right.
A lot of people do the works because they don't believe.
Uh-huh.
A lot of people do works because they ain't believers. They're unbelievers.
Mercy.
They're even make believers. Judas Iscariot did the same things, church.
Uh-huh.
Judas Iscariot was a righteous man. Even when Jesus said, who I give this sup to, they're the ones, and he gave it to Judas, they still couldn't believe it.
Mm.
Judas was just like them. The Bible called him many times one of the 12.
Right.
Judas, one of the 12. Judas, one of the 12. They associated themselves with him.
That's right.
He was a righteous man, but he was a make-believer the whole time.
Right.
Seemed to do everything right, nothing like that. And Peter didn't do anything right.
That's right.
Peter denied Jesus, just like we heard Josh Tucker preach, right?
Right.
Jesus denied him, everything like that, messed up, got all hot-headed, even did after he got the Holy Ghost.
Sure
still didn't stop the Holy Ghost. God trusted his seed, what was inside him so much, even before he got the Holy Ghost, God gave him the keys.
That's right.
And yet he walked around making mistakes and everything like that. Even after he got the Holy Ghost, he still got jealous. He still wanted to be like a Jew and stuff like that.
Right.
Remember, the Bible says Paul pursued him to his face. Like that.
Yes, sir.
I have no doubt he didn't make 100 mistakes after that either. Just like I do. But it did not change the fact, amen.
Woo!
That the seed of God, the Holy Ghost, he was going to be, amen.
Yeah.
It's not to him that worketh, but to him that believeth.
Amen.
Believe what this says.
Hallelujah.
I know I say it many times in many churches, but I'm going to say it again anyways. Jesus Christ, when Brother Bram's God's motto song for his meaning for 14 years was only believe.
Amen.
Brother Bram said the reason why he picked that song for his meaning was because when everybody's singing, he said the angel of the Lord seemed to like it.
Amen.
So what makes you think he doesn't like it anymore?
Right.
And it wasn't sometimes believe. It wasn't hoping to believe. Only believe. Jesus is here.
Amen.
Only believe.
Yes.
Only believe.
That's it.
Amen.
That's it.
Y'all don't mind? We might go through one more story.
It's all right, bro.
Maybe two.
Come on.
What else? I don't remember where I started. If you all don't mind, just a little more.
Amen.
We'll do one more.
All right, brother. Come on.
In John 8, there was another woman one time. Another woman. Jesus was actually out teaching in a synagogue. All of a sudden, a bunch of men came and threw a woman right before him. Right?
That's true. Yep.
Said this woman was found in adultery. Now, I've always learned this myself. I think that's why Jesus could tell their spirit on them. In order to commit adultery, there's got to be two to tango.
Yes.
You can't just commit adultery with one person. So where was the guy? If they really were concerned about the law of Moses,
right.
The Bible says he had to be stoned too.
That's right.
If he committed the same act.
Sure did.
And even if she was not, it was adultery, so she had to have been married.
Right.
So see, the man was supposed to be stoned just as much.
That's right.
Where was he? See, it only proved their hypocrisy spirit. That's why you can prove all things. That's what the Bible says, prove all things. Look how they're acting. I see the same message people act like this.
Sure thing.
We're going to save time. We're going to cut that out. But this woman was stoned and said, this woman committed adultery. And according to the law of Moses, she must be stoned. He said, what do you say? Bible says he looked down as though he didn't even hear him.
That's right.
He started writing in the sand.
What he wrote in law?
I don't know. I've heard some people tell me, and I don't even know if I believe them. Who knows what he was writing? I don't even know what that means. But he wrote in the sand. And the Bible says they kept pressing him, and said, what should we do with this woman? And the Bible says he looked up, right? Said, he that's without sin, let him cast the first stone. And he just looked back down and started writing again. Started writing. Didn't even look at him, just looked down, writing. And the Bible says what? They were convicted of their own conscience. Well, who didn't sin?
That's it.
You sin, Bill? No, I've sinned, Bill. Bob, you haven't sinned. There's no way you've sinned.
Oh, boy. That's it. That's the truth.
They couldn't find one.
That's right.
They couldn't find one. George, there's no way you sinned, buddy. Yeah, I did. Okay, so they all had to leave. There's no way. Being convicted of their own conscience, the Bible said they left. But the Bible says that woman still stood there.
Yeah.
Now, has anybody ever wondered this? Why did that woman still stand there? Everybody else left. Why? And Jesus just looking down.
Yeah.
Why is she still standing there? Why? Because Jesus said, he that's without sin, let him cast the first stone. And there was one standing there.
Yes, there was.
Ooh, my.
There was one standing there.
That's good.
That could cast a stone.
That's right.
There was one. And Jesus was looking down, writing in the sand. And she's just standing there. Because there is one that could. Jesus looked up. Nobody's standing there. He goes, woman, where are thy accusers? Watch what she said now. Watch her attitude towards the word. See, this is where it comes down to. It wasn't righteous living. It wasn't necessarily works. It wasn't this. Watch her attitude towards the word. She said, no man, Lord. Called the word Lord.
Amen.
Which is the same word. That word Lord is kurios in the Greek. Which if you take kurios, it's the equivalent Greek word for the Hebrew word Adonai. Which is Adonai is the same word for Jehovah, which takes you all the way back to Elohim. Makes the same God the whole time.
That's right.
No man. Jehovah, no man, Adonai, no man. Oh, I love it. You know what Jesus said? Neither do I. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Which sin is what?
Unbelief.
Wait, it wasn't smoking? Wait, it wasn't your works? It wasn't that? What sin?
Unbelief.
You believe that now. Sin is unbelief.
That's it.
If you unbelieve the word, that's sin. So if you believe the word,
righteousness.
That's righteousness.
Hallelujah.
Oh, y'all pay attention. Praise God.
Amen.
Who loves the Lord this
evening? Amen.
Let's stand to our feet. I'm done.
Hallelujah.
I think you all get the point, don't you?
Yes, Lord.
What is a blessing to us? What is a blessing? Is it making sure we got all the T's crossed and the I's dotted and, boy, my life's blameless?
Ooh, mercy.
You know, Paul did that.
Sure did.
Paul was blameless before the law.
Yep,
I'm a Pharisee and a Pharisee. He says, according to the law, I was blameless.
That's right.
No blame you could find against him. Wow. But you know what he said? I count that all dung so that I may know him.
Oh, Jesus.
And the power of his resurrection.
Yes.
And the fellowship of his suffering. That's a blessing.
Oh, amen.
Paul finally found a blessing. All that righteous living, all that good works he did, all that even persecuting the truth, he was more zealous than his brethren, and everything like that, and he still had to be brought down.
Yes, Lord.
Because he didn't believe. He didn't believe. See what it comes all down to? Listen, we've had this message for how long? 50 years? And then like that? We've been searching and searching, going this and that. When we use the range finder, we look at the message and we find this and we find this and we find this and we find this. We're not even focused. But the more we focus it, the more we research the message,
hallelujah,
the more we look at this and more we look like that, you know what happens? We start focusing. What happens? It comes to just one thing. Only believe.
Hallelujah.
It is still,
oh,
brother,
Lord,
only
God.
Believe.
Yes,
only
Jesus.
Believe.
Yes.
Brother Rand said, people come in the prayer lines. He said, somebody go to the prayer line and see if they can't get nothing from God.
That's right.
And other people come from prayer line, yes, and they just get it just like that.
That's right.
What's the difference? They believed.
Yes. Amen.
They just simply believed.
That's it.
We got to believe what the blood did to us.
Oh, praise be to God. Thank you, blessed Lord.
Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer.
Blessed Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, God, for this time, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost, God. We thank you, Lord, for the message of this hour, Lord, the word of God given to us in these last days, God. God, there's no way we could have known this, Lord. Lord, the Luther age told us that we were justified by faith, but we didn't have to do nothing, Lord. The Wesleyan age told us that we had to stop doing certain things. We had to shout and so forth when we finally get the Holy Ghost. Lord, the Pentecostal age told us that we had to speak in tongues in order to get the Holy Ghost. But Lord, we're so thankful that God, in these last days, you focused our rangefinder again, God. When all the churches and all these denominations and all these opinions of man blur the image. God, it out of focus, and we thought this and we thought that. But Lord, the rangefinder has came into view again.
Thank you, Lord.
We got the goal set in our eyes. Only believe it.
Thank you, Father.
Only believe it. Lord Jesus, as our hands are lifted, Lord, we want to rededicate our eyes focused on that finish line, Lord. Lord Jesus, we believe we got the Holy Ghost, Lord. Lord Jesus, we believe that finish line, we're going to keep it in our eyes, Lord. There is coming a day where no heartaches will come. What a day, a glorious day that will be.
Oh, hallelujah.
When the trump of God shall sound and the dead in Christ shall rise. And that morning will come up bright and fair. He'll split that eastern sky. Oh my, and our Lord will come back. Oh friends, let me just give you one story as we just keep in a prayer. Dad, you can strum something if you like. I was at home today and I was just watching some YouTube videos. I don't know how I got on it, but I watched military surprises when a relative of the family would surprise his other members of his family because he just came home and they didn't know it. They didn't know it. He just came and they were, and I just watched the reactions. They'd just start crying. They would start tear shedding. Oh, I even saw this one man. He came to his little kid, 7-year-old kid. Oh God. And he got back from Iraq and he surprised him. He walked into his little kindergarten class and this little 7-year-old boy didn't care no more what was going on. Oh, maybe the teacher told him to make sure he sit down to color his picture. But when he saw his daddy in the doorway, he got up, sprang up. I watched the video and said, "Daddy, Daddy, Daddy." And he ran straight for him and got into his arms. Oh, and he just started crying. Lord, I was so moved, Lord. I had to go to my room. I was sobbing like a baby. I said, "Lord, that's what we're going to do. We may be doing things in this earth. We may be doing things and coloring our little pictures, Lord. But God, one of these days, our Lord's going to be standing in the door and his arms wide open in the sky. Oh, church, I don't know about you, but I'm going to run as hard as I can.
Yes, Lord.
When that Jubilee trumpet sound, I'm going to drop everything and I'm running straight for him. I won't care what's going on. I don't care if I was at work. I don't care if I'm at home just watching a YouTube video. Soon as I see him in the door, I'm running straight for him.
Yes.
I'm dropping everything.
Yes.
Lord, that's what we're going to do.
Hallelujah.
Help us, Lord, to keep our eyes on that finish line, Lord. We love you, Lord.
We just lift our hands in praise and worship you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Let's sing that song, church.
Let's only believe this evening. Let's stop thinking about our worst. All things are possible to us right now.
Oh, because we only believe it.
Oh, hallelujah.
Oh, but for Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Going to believe now.
Now I believe.
Who's going to lift their hands? Lord, I'm going to believe now.
Now
I can have my healing. I can have the Holy Ghost.
For all things
I can have anything I'm desiring.
Possible.
Oh my.
Yes.
For now,
now I believe.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. The Bible says John started weeping, started crying. Brother Branham said that some people thought he was weeping because he found himself not worthy. But Brother Branham said, no, that's not it. He said, the reason why he was weeping was because nobody could take that book. And if nobody could take that book, that means they're all lost.
That's right.
That means nobody's going to be able to make it now.
That's right.
And he started crying because there's no way they could be redeemed. But then one of the elders came up to him. Now, this is just caressology again, okay? But Brother Ram taught us that the 24 elders is who? The 12 patriarchs of the Jews and the 12 apostles of right. the Lord Jesus. John was one of the 12 apostles.
Right.
So this is just caressology, but I believe the one elder that came up to him was actually himself.
Uh-huh.
Himself came up to him. Oh, my. Why? He heard from his theophany.
That's it.
You heard from your theophany.
Woo! Yeah!
So John heard from this theophany, and his theophany told him, don't weep, John.
That's right.
What are you weeping for? Why would you possibly be crying?
That's right.
He said, the lie hath prevailed.
Oh, yes, Lord.
The lie hath prevailed. Oh, and what's stood from the throne? A bloody lamb. He never left the throne. You catch that? The Bible says he lifted from the throne, and he took the book.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to read something to you. Right when he took the book, the Bible goes right into this in Revelation 5:8. And when he had taken the book, the four and beasts and four and 20 elders fell down before the Lamb, having one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song. No time to cry.
That's right.
No time to pout. They sung a new song.
Yes.
Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood and of every kindred, tongue, and people, and nations. Brother Branham was asking the questions of the seals. Brother Branham asked, Brother Branham, Revelation 5:9,
yep.
That scripture I just read. He's like, is that the bride? Brother Branham said, that person asked him, is that the bride? He said, no, that's not the bride. He said, that's not the bride. He started reading and he just read the first part. He said, thou art worthy to take the book. That's what he read. And he said, see, that's the 24 elders and the four beasts. He said, no, that's not the bride.
Yep, that's right.
And I'm going to read the quote for you.
Yes, sir.
He starts going into the next question.
Yep, that's right.
He said, Brother Branham is all. He said, just a moment, I guess. He starts getting shaky if you ever listen to the tape.
It's true.
He says, Brother Branham, if all the godly be taken of the rapture, where will Elijah and the Moses come from? You know what he says right next? He said, there's something wrong.
That's right.
He's like, there's just something wrong right now. That's just all there is to it. He said, there's something happened, see? There's something that went wrong somewhere. Everybody's feeling all right.
He's thinking he needs to pray for somebody. Right. So he's thinking, everybody, nobody needs to pray or nothing. A man in the congregation requests that Brother Rand read Revelation 5:9 again. Somebody just piped up and said, read that scripture again.
That's right.
Could you imagine this now? He said, let's see, Revelation, where was it? So he reads it. And he reads it and said, that's right. Oh no, he says right there. He reads the scripture again. Here it is. He says, and they sung a new song. Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seal, for thou was slain. And then he says, and here it is. I was wrong on that.
That's right.
He said, that was redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred. He says, that's right. Now, what do you think about that?
Yes,
Lord. Oh, if the presence of the Holy Ghost isn't here,
that's right.
What is it?
Woo.
He wouldn't let me.
That's
I read
right.
The first part of the verse.
Yes.
There's something wrong here, and I was trying to get through the clock. But you see, he stopped me on that?
Thank you, Lord.
Glory, I never read the other part.
Right. Hallelujah.
Look here, and they sang a new song, and I stopped. But look here, the song they sang, you have redeemed us. He said, sure, that's them.
Yes, Lord.
So what I just read, they sung a new song. He actually thought that was not them. He said, no, that's not them. And the Holy Ghost thought it was so important, brother.
Yes,
he thought so important that Brother Bam didn't mess that up. He stopped him right in his tracks.
That's right. Amen, brother.
Stopped him right in his tracks and said, no, you ain't going nowhere.
Jesus. Thank you,
they
Father.
Need to know this.
Right.
Glory to God.
Amen.
They need to know who they are.
Amen.
He even stopped the prophet of God in his tracks to make sure you know you're Revelation 5:9. When the Lamb took the book, amen. When the Lamb took the book, they sung a new song, amen. They praised God and worshiped Him. They needed to know that was them. It was so important to God. He stopped him. Listen, Brother Branham made many mistakes in the seals, just so you know. He caught 7,700.
Yes.
Yeah, he made other mistake too. I can't remember off the top of my head. He made a couple of mistakes. He went back and corrected them. But that one time,
the Holy Spirit
had to stop him there.
That's right.
The Lord knew you'd believe the word that it was 7,000, not 700.
Sure.
The Lord knew that. But if that prophet would have said that's not them, we'd all walk around believing that's not us.
Right.
That's right. We'd all walk around. And God, it was so important to make sure you know where you're at in the scripture. He stopped the prophet. Listen, we don't need weep no more, do we now? He took the book.
Amen.
He's took in the book.
Amen.
He's got the book, Brother Kent. Amen. He's got our redemption. He has it. There's no more to talk no more.
Amen.
Aren't you glad for that?
Amen.
Aren't you glad for that?
Amen.
Let's praise
Amen.
The Lord. Let's sing a new song. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Let's sing that new song. Let's sing it in a new way now.
Go ahead, Dad.
Sing any song.
194.
Lord, 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 we should have been good to you.
Sing it as a new song. You believe it?
Lord, Lord, Lord,
sing it as a new song.
You should have been good to me. Oh, Lord, 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 you should have been good to me. You have done
Greater is He that's in us.
Oh, praise you, Lord Jesus.
You
Coming up here tonight, but Lord must have seen it fit that way. We got to believe in what we ask Him. If you knew any of the thoughts that I've been thinking about preaching and been wanting to preach, I didn't need to tonight because Brother Stephen done took care of that. So we thank God for His Word. We thank God for grace tonight that we didn't have to earn anything from Him, and we still don't have to earn anything from Him. We just need to believe Him.
Amen.
And watch Him fulfill His Word every time.
Yes.
Amen. So praise be to God. Let's sing another song as we get ready. I don't want to prolong the time. I want to be able to get home.
I get decided to go training back.
Okay, 193. We'll sing that as we go. If you want to worship a little while, you want to pray, that's okay. But if you need to get going, you're dismissed. So.
I have decided to follow Jesus.
No turning back. Oh, no, sir. Thank you, Jesus.
No turning back.
Yes, Lord. Keep that cross right in front of you all the time.
The world behind.
Oh, the cross before.